Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 to 20. That's Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 to 20. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thanks, Grace. Everyone, why don't you keep that passage open in front of you? And I want to ask you a question as we begin. So this is for all of you. Do you have friends? Do any of you have friends who are great ones? I suppose some of you do have friends who are great ones. You see, it never occurs to me that some of you might have friends who's a great one, because I don't have anyone who I could call a great one who's a part of my friendship circle, and it says something about me, I think. But I suppose that it is possible that you could have a friend who's a great one. It may come as a shock to you to hear this, but the Taoiseach has not phoned me since I have come to Ireland. Can you believe it? I suppose that if you've been properly brought up, you wouldn't dream of name dropping, would you? But then, if you've been properly brought up, you'll have learnt how to do it and not be vulgar, won't you? I want to talk today about love and friendship. I want to talk about companionship and the wonder of being loved and the possibility of loving, because they are the very essence of life. You can put up with almost anything, can't you, if somebody loves you? On the other hand, if you're not loved, you can hardly put up with anything. Isn't that true? It has that effect on us, doesn't it? And if you're not loved, you'll be desperately lonely. And you'll be crowding out your life with other things, perhaps work and or anything, so that you can forget it. Now, the Bible speaks into the situation of loving and being loved. And the part of the Bible that was read by Grace to us today speaks right into that. You remember, here we are, as we were last week, at the Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples. He's about to die. The very next day, in fact, he does die on the cross. And there he is with them. And he's passed the bread around. And he says to them, "This is my body. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the cup comes around. And he says, This cup is the new covenant sealed with my blood, which is for you. Now, do you remember last week I said that to understand what the new covenant is, we've got to understand something about the old covenant? Do you remember that? And for those of you who weren't here last week, well, even for those of you who were here, we'll give it a brush up too. Don't worry, I'm not foolish enough to think that you'll remember what happened last week. I can't even remember what I had for breakfast this morning. That's why I brought the notes with me, to find out what I was on about last week. And what was the nature of the old covenant? Well, God called his people the Jews, and he took them out of slavery in Egypt under Moses, their leader. And he entered into an agreement with them. He entered into a contract with them. Do you remember? Two clauses. Clause number one, "I'll be your God." Clause number two, "You'll be my people." And what was the purpose of the arrangement? What was the purpose of the agreement, the contract? Why did they draw up the contract? Well, God said, "You and I together will demonstrate to the whole of humankind for all times what a brilliant thing it is for a nation to have God as their God. Well, as I told you last week, you remember, they continually blew it, didn't they? In the school that I went to, about once a month, you'd have one of those occasional addresses like, oh, we were all immediately brought to attention. You know what it was like. And then we were reminded of the school motto. And then we were told what a great privilege it was to be a person in this school. And indeed, we were invited to get out of it if we didn't want to stay. They would say, well, plenty of boys and girls. There are plenty of other boys and girls who could take your place at Westerford High School if you don't want to be here. You know, please leave if you don't want to be here. And then we'd have that talk that said that we ought to do the right thing because we were to bring honor to the school. Do you know what it was like? Those kinds of talks. Now, the prophets were not unlike that. The prophets turned up on the scene of Israel and they said, you are not ordinary people. You are not ordinary people. You are Westerford people. God has entered into special relationship with you. Did he say to the Egyptians, I'll be your God and you be my people? He didn't. Did he say to the Philistines, I'll be your God and you be my people? He didn't. But he did say it to you. And God has given you the rules and he's called on you to love him and to show the whole world how good it is to have God as your God. Well, of course, the Jews, they never really got it right, did they? There'd be a little bit of a brush up for a while, but it never lasted. And as we go down the tracks, the prophets begin to tell us that God is going to make a new covenant. He'll start all over again. Remember I said that last week? You don't need to answer that, by the way. You don't need to answer that. I know that you haven't, but I'm telling you again so that we can try together to get it all brushed up. Let me get my little screen guy. Take a look at the screen, won't you? Here's one of the promises made by Jeremiah the prophet about how God will bring in this new covenant. Let's have a look at the new covenant because there are three things that we're looking at, three features of the new covenant. Let me read it. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers. No, it will not. This is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Remember, we did that last week as opposed to the law on the wall. Do you remember that? What happens with the law on the wall? It excites you to sin. We grow to hate it. It stands against us in judgment. It condemns us because we can't keep it. What happens when God writes his law on our hearts? We long to please him. We long to do the things that he wants us to do. We're not frightened of judgment day because we know that we've been forgiven. So, okay, that's the first thing. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Now, here's the thing for today. Have a look at the screen. Do you see how Jeremiah goes on? No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Now this may take you by surprise, and if it does, it ought to. God wants to enter into friendship with you. God wants to enter into friendship with you. Many people view God rather like they do the king, don't they? They hold him in very high regard and they cheer him on and they wave at him from the back of the crowd. But the Bible picture is one of great intimacy where God has entered into relationship with us, where we're really friends with him. Now, it's staggering that the living God will become friends with you. Isn't it? Well, I'm going to tell you what. I find it staggering when you consider what he knows about you. You know, he knows you exactly the way you are and still wants to enter into friendship with you. He says, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. And no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. I have a friend who lives close to Derry, and I'll go and visit him from time to time, and he's got a little three-year-old daughter. And the last time I went away from his house, she waved me goodbye, and as the car drove out of the driveway, my window was down, and she called out, and the last word that echoed in my ear was, Dorian, I will be your friend when you come back. Dorian, I will be your friend when you come back. And let me say that from time to time she declared the alternative too. She said, Dorian, you are not my friend anymore. Mainly when I had to stop playing dolls with her. Just imagine the living God saying, Dorian, you are my friend. I offer you my friendship. The first thing that I want to say today is that God himself will enter into a friendship with all the people of the new covenant. No, he will not be aloof. He will be their friend, a person with whom they can share their joys and have them multiplied over and over and over again, 100 times over. Somebody with whom their sorrows can be shared and have them halved. Good times made better, fears alleviated, because I know what it is to be friends with the living God. Someone with whom I can share my hopes and my dreams, my aspirations, a relationship where his knowledge of me, his knowledge is shared with me, and where he knows me so well, where he shows me new ways of looking at life and thinking about life. And he causes me to love the things that he loves. And not only will he enter into that relationship now, but that relationship will go on, dear friends. It will go on beyond this life, into heaven. And as one of the new covenant people of God, we will be with him in the new creation forever. God says, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not like that useless one that didn't get off the ground. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I'll write my law on your heart and on your mind. And no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. My friends, that's not a new idea. The psalmist waxes lyrical as he thinks of the wonder of what it is for a man to have God as his friend. And he describes it in the kind of sheep-shepherd relationship. And he said, what is it like for a person to have God as their shepherd, to be in that kind of relationship? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want. He makes me to lie down. It's such a beautiful image, isn't it? In green pastures beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, does fear grip hold of me? He said, it doesn't. It doesn't. Why? Because his rod and staff comfort me. And he says, in the presence of my enemies, when you have God as your friend, as a shepherd, he refreshes me. Goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He speaks, the psalmist does, of that intimacy of relationship. Do you know that? Do you? Do you know what it is to have God as your friend? Because if you're in the new covenant people of God, that's what it's like. They will all know me. You know that saying that we've got when we're not friends with someone? We say, well, I hardly know him. Do you know that saying? We're not friends. But God says, when I make a new covenant with my people, this is the feature. I will write my law on their hearts and on their mind. They will all know me. Friends, suppose that today is the day of judgment. The balloon goes up and you're standing there in the queue with all the other people before the throne of God. And you've been waiting quite a while, but now it's your turn. You're right there. God is on his throne. And he looks down at you. Do you think he'll say something like, "How good it is to see you, old friend"? Do you think he'll say something like that? Or do you think he'll say something like, "We haven't actually met, have we? I never knew you"? The feature of the new covenant before us today is this: they will all know me. That's the first thing I want to say. Second thing I want to say is that it is for everybody. Have another look at the screen, won't you? No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Do you think that you are the least in Donegal? Anybody volunteering, putting up their hands? Or do you think that you are the greatest in Donegal? Oh, well, we've got everybody in between then. There you go. I thought we'd probably have in-betweens this morning. You see, it is absolutely inclusive. Whereas the old covenant was absolutely exclusive, this one is inclusive. It's for you. The wonder of it is, it's for you. God says, you. 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 You can be my friend. They will all, A-double-L, know me, from the least of them to the greatest. You say, "Well, whoa, take it easy, Dorian. Gee, you don't know what I'm like." Well, I tell you, I've got a vague idea what you like. Look, I may not give the fine details, but I can give you the broad strokes. I tell you, I'll probably get somewhere near the mark. Of course, you can't be friends with the living God unless you are forgiven. Of course, you can't be friends with God unless you're cleansed. I know that. That's what the whole deal in the new covenant is all about. Jesus says, this cup, do you remember that? This cup is the new covenant sealed with my blood. What is the feature about the new covenant? It's for everybody. Everybody who'll come. Everybody who'll come and be cleansed. Everybody who will come to Jesus and say, "I need you to write your law on my heart and on my mind. I need to make a fresh start. I need to make a new beginning." And whoever you are and whatever you've done and wherever you are, this promise comes to you. God says, they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. What is the first feature of this? God himself wants to become friends with you. Just ponder on that for a moment, will you? On the sheer wonder of that. It's extraordinary. Second feature, the living God who made the heavens and the earth will become friends with you. With you. Whether you are the least or whether you are the greatest or whether you are somebody in between. Let me tell you the third feature of this today. Notice it as you look at the screen. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord." You don't need a priest any longer or a priestly person. A man doesn't need his neighbor or his brother saying, "Know the Lord." Why? Because they will all know me. In South Africa, every now and then I had to wear my clerical collar as a minister, and I was out on the street one day, and as I walked out of the office, I passed a man on the street, and he said, "Say one for me, will you, Father?" I said, "Say one for yourself, you lazy oaf. You know, who do you think I am?" Now, I mean, do you get the point here? You probably don't get the point after that, do you? But, I mean, do you get the point? What is it that your priest can do that you can't do yourself in the new covenant? I mean, in the old covenant, of course, you couldn't get into the presence of God. I mean, you know how many people in the old covenant got into the presence of God? How many? One. In the whole nation. You know how often he made it? How often? Once a year. And then after the most elaborate ceremonies. You couldn't speak to God face to face in the old covenant. You got the priest to do that for you. But in the new covenant, you don't need the priestly person. You yourself can go right into the presence of God with your hopes, with your aspirations, with your sorrows, with your fears, with your joys. What's left for the priest to do? What do you go to the priest for after all of that? You yourself can go right into the very presence of God, being completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus. What is there left for your priest to do? And so God promises the eradication of it. He said, no longer will we need somebody to say, "Know the Lord." You won't need a go-between. Because, why? Well, because you'll be friends with God. There won't be anybody who will be closer than you. Nobody. Nobody. There won't be anybody who can put in a good word for you, because you'll be right there yourself. It's a bit breathtaking, isn't it? No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Well, is that what it is like for you? Is that what it's like for you? You know what it is to be friends with God. Now, you remember when we came to the end last week, I asked you if the law of God has been written on your heart and on your mind. Do you love to do the things that God loves for you to do? Now, here's another question for you on this Sunday morning. Are you one of the new covenant people of God? Do you know God like that? As a friend? Do you? Do you? And you say, well, that is the way I live my life. Now, look, I'm not talking about people who kind of make telephone calls to God when they're in a jam. I mean, that's not friendship, is it? You know, prayers go up when you're in a tight spot. That's not friendship. I'm talking about a life lived in daily communion with the living God. You're talking to Him, you're hearing from Him as you come to His Word, the Bible. You know what it is to be on speaking terms with the living God. And you know what it is for your life to be being remade. Is it like that for you? I'm asking you, is it? Well, how is it possible? And Jesus is again the clue. What does He say at the Last Supper? "This is my body given for you. This cup is the new covenant and sealed with my blood." Friends, when Jesus died, He took the punishment that my sin deserves, so that I could be forgiven, that I could come right into the presence of the living God. As a cleansed man, God will have me back again because of the death of Jesus. And friends, you can be one of the new covenant people of God. The law written on your heart and on your mind. You can know what it's like. And I'm speaking to you. What it's like to be true friends with the living God. Now again, if I had to go around as I did last week, go around one by one and ask you if that does describe your relationship with God, for some people they would say, well, no, I'm not like that. It's perfectly clear to me that I'm not one of the new covenant people of God. Today is a great day to change. The Bible says, when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. When you hear God saying to you, come into friendship with me, today is the day to make a fresh start. Well, friends, if it is right for you to do that today, do it. Don't put it off. Why put it off? You'll know if you're one of God's covenant people. You'll know perfectly well whether you're already friends with him. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer. And it's a prayer for people who know that they are not in the new covenant. They say that it's time. They say it's time that I changed. Listen while I go through my prayer. I'll go through it slowly so that you can think about it. See if it's appropriate for you. If it's appropriate for you, I'm going to invite you to pray it with me. Listen to what I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for me. From today onwards, I want to live under your authority. Please forgive me and make me one of the new covenant people. I want you to be my God. I want to be your person. Now, if you know that that is appropriate for you, then it's a great prayer to pray. And you will know. You'll know if you're already one of the new covenant people or if you're not. But if it's appropriate for you today, if you need a fresh start, friends, I'll pray that prayer slowly and you can echo it to God inside your head and then my prayer will become your prayer. If it's not appropriate for you, it won't be long. Just give us a few minutes. Just put up with it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for me. From today onwards, I want to live under your authority. Please forgive me and make me one of the new covenant people. I want you to be my God, and I want to be your person. Amen.